Hello, welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie. Hey.
Can you believe it? It's this time of the day.
I know. It's Christine Marie and Julie's show.
What are you doing?
I gotta get some Kleenex.
Oh, okay.
Can you believe it? I was like, I might have to blow my nose. I'm at the end of this cold, I believe.
You're claiming that?
I'm claiming that. Couldn't have came at the worst time either. It's just been a drag.
You know,
or it came at the best time because that's when it's when it always happens.
I mean, we thought for a while that Mercury was in retrograde, whatever that means, because people say that when things are like clusterfucking, right?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And that's exactly what I mean. It's Friday night, the radio show. Not the radio show.
Our class.
I call it the show.
Normano on Friday finally had his surgery, his knee surgery. But here we are. We're Christine Marie and Julie. We're mother and daughter. We're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. We've done a lot of stuff. And really, it was funny. I was reading Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it was like 101. I don't know. Something crazy.
101.
1,000 success principles in there. I don't know. But they talk about near the end, they talk about your social media, you know? And how to, you know, make sure that whatever you put out there, it's in alignment with who you are, you know? And I'm like, because this show is certainly not, this is our fun show.
This show is totally in alignment with who we are.
Right.
At a very, very core level. This is us.
Yes.
This is how we act. We're just goofy.
But if you're professional show.
Yeah, exactly. You call it a show. Yeah, that's right. We've been doing a 30-day course on stress.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't let the goofy girls hang out there. We don't.
Well, a little bit, but not much.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, because, but it's funny to think that because if somebody goes, oh, yeah, I found more about Christine Marie and Julie. You know, I want to take her class and stress, and here we go. And like, who are these people?
And then they go to Life with a Girlfriend.
Yes.
And they go, oh, who are they?
Who are
they? But, you know, if I had to choose.
Yes.
If someone came and said, Christine Marie, you have to choose whether to be a psychotherapist, a coach, an author, are a radio show host with your daughter. Is there anything else that we do?
No.
Filmmaker.
There you go.
You can see our film on YouTube.
Yes.
Called A Christmas Mystery. The next one is coming in a couple of weeks. But I would choose Life with a Girlfriend.
Yeah.
This is who I am. This is where I have the most joy.
Yeah.
And I could do this all day with you.
And if only we could figure out a way
to monetize it.
In a bigger way. Not just monetize a little bit, but a bigger way.
Yeah.
And honestly, just because I don't know how to do that, you know? Because that would also mean being somebody I'm not, which is engaging in that kind of marketing.
See, this is where you need someone else to come in and go, oh, I love you guys.
Yeah.
Guess what? I just happen to be a media.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to give you guys sponsors.
Yeah.
And then I want you to have your own channel.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know the stuff.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Because, everybody has a podcast. But we've had one since 2009.
Yeah.
Or whenever the first.
2008.
Probably.
Think. Yeah.
You know, we've had one for a long time.
Blog Talk Radio 2008.
But I tell you what, there are big reasons why I do this. And I really advocate everyone having a podcast with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just on your own.
No, because the biggest reason why is that you develop a relationship with somebody else where you have to be on for an hour and talking continuously for 1 hour or more or less, however. But that's a skill.
It is a skill.
And also something I look forward to every week.
Well, you know what they said? Remember Castle?
Yes.
The show, the two stars, I can't think of his name.
Nathan Fillion.
And I don't know her name either.
I don't either. It's a Russian
Katya
name.
Katya somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
They never spoke until they actually had to do their lines.
Yeah.
And everybody said that added to their chemistry. I mean, they literally hated each other.
I can't believe it. Like, how bad do you have to be towards each other to hate each other?
Yeah. So, right now, after we talk like this and we I don't want to talk to you ever again.
Yeah, we're done until next week. Next Sunday. Screw
that
you.
That is not it.
Yeah.
At all for us.
Yeah. But so it's, But anyway, it's been a very interesting week, to say the least. And I feel like I'm behind the eight ball everywhere I go.
You are.
And then...
And I feel so sorry for you.
Well, and then, like, on Friday, Dad had his surgery for his knee.
Yeah.
And
he's so looking forward to this.
No, I know.
He just like, and he goes, and I'm going to be leaving the same day.
Yes.
And you guys have pizza waiting for me because I haven't been able to eat like I wanted to eat for 2 or 3 days. And
he's just like, he was like ready to party after the surgery.
He just thought this is going to be the easiest thing. No.
And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, first off, he couldn't leave the same day because he had to be intubated.
Yeah.
Now, I realize that I have been saying incubated with a C.
And everybody likes, it's like, oh my God, you had to incubate your father. Oh my God. No, it was intubate.
Intubate.
Yeah, because he couldn't take the spinal.
No, so that made it a little more difficult for him. And so then as we're in the room with him, he proceeds to throw up for about 4 hours off and on,
and we don't even know what's in there.
Nothing, except a lot of liquid or fluid. Who knows? But it was funny because everything that anything he consumed, just threw up.
Yeah.
And then the nurse was like, let's stay in the whole night. Let's stay the whole night. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're like, yes.
I was happy, but I didn't want to make the ride because the hospital was like an hour and 40 minutes away.
Oh, for sure, right? For sure. And so you just go, what in the world, you know? But then he spent the night, and I hope we might be having a little bit of feedback, but I think we're gonna be okay.
Hmm.
And so it was interesting because we went back and picked him up, and they just kept saying, "Hey, the pain's gonna get worse before he gets better."
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you're about ready to go out of your skin anyway with him because you have a level of. You expect a level of strength from your guy, you know, and I never understood, like, you know, you hear people talk about, goes, I can't take it when my spouse is sick. It makes me crazy.
Right.
You know, my partner, I can't take it. And so today's the day, Sunday, and he is, you know, a scale 1 to 10, about 8, 9, possibly 10 sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is driving you crazy.
In terms of the pain, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. So it's interesting to see this happen, you know?
Yeah, and it was 7:30 in the morning, and I had this polite suggestion. Oh, it's a beautiful day out. Wouldn't you like to...
Hang outside for a while, all day long. Meaning, I can't effing take you anymore. I can't take this. And then you said, you know... And it's funny because the doctor, Dr. Palmer, you know, he said, you know, your knee is straight now. And before the surgery, he said the other one will pop up straight too. Well, it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so as I see him in the back, Dad's, you know, angle from the back, because he was very bow-legged.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how the left one is now good.
Mm-hmm.
But the right one, which was his better knee, is like, I'm like, oh, we're going to get this done too.
Yeah.
I go, so I'm thinking Christmas time. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though. I think if there is a nursing home option, and I'm going to take it. Because it's not that I want to send him away.
Yes.
I would love to be with him, but in the hospital or a nursing home, you know, 8 people take care of him. You got the one person to do this, and then another person comes in. Like last night, he was running a fever. You know, what am I supposed to do? We put ice on him and gave him some aspirin.
That's
exactly
right. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, but we were also. The cook.
Yeah.
And we were also the commode cleaner.
Yeah.
Is that a good word, commode cleaner?
Yes.
Should I try and get that on GoDaddy?
Commodecleaner.com? Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I don't know who would buy it.
I'd be worth $1,000.
There you go. Gertrude, commodecleaner.com is finally available.
We want it.
Please, let's get it. There's got to be somebody really old.
Yeah, because like, what's a commode?
What is a commode? So you got all these different people, but all these different people at a hospital or a nursing home are us, and specifically you.
Right. And then they're getting paid for it, which is good. They I stubbed my toe this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like.
And the real Julie came out.
God, it hurt
second.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, for that second, I was like, can't hold on anymore, you know.
Yeah.
All the pressure is kind of, you know.
Yeah. Because he needs to get up every 2 hours.
Yes.
And move and do whatever. And he's like, for every 2 hours, Julie.
Yeah.
Julie.
But we're going to get through it.
Coming, Daddy. Yeah. Coming, Daddy.
We're going to get through it.
We'll live through it.
Uh-huh. For sure. And in the midst of that, I have to get my master's done.
Yeah.
Time is tweaking, you know, coming down to the end.
And time is ticking.
Ticking away. And it's funny because at this point, I'm just like, I had all these expectations of how great this thesis was going to be. And and now I'm just like, I just want to get it done.
Yeah.
I just want to pass it.
Yeah.
Get my degree. I'll tweak it.
That's what
I
wanted.
I know you've been telling me to do that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. I know.
I know, Mom. You've been saying, just do it. Don't have this high expectation.
I will just do it every time. I will just do it. And
It can just, you know how doctors don't get really graded? What's the matter?
No, nothing. I haven't checked the time at all, so.
Oh, yeah, you just get pass or fail?
That's right.
You know, so when you meet your doctor for the first time, you don't know if he was like the last
in
your class.
No, you don't. You never ask him.
Because he either passed or he failed.
Exactly.
He either knew the stuff or he didn't.
Exactly.
And that's exactly how it is, you know. And the people who are quote-unquote grading you, that's all they're looking for. They're not going, oh, whiz kid Julie.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We got to find this girl. It's like,
exactly.
She's onto something.
Exactly.
All they want to do is wait for quitting time, run out to the nearest 7-Eleven, get a large Diet Coke.
That's all they want.
That's right. And go home and take their shoes off.
Exactly.
And kiss their doggy.
So that's that. And then, of course, Trump is Trump. President Trump is Trump. And life is good.
Whoa, I've never heard you talk about you-know-who before.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd bring him up all the time.
Me?
Yeah.
Orange is a new black guy?
Yeah. But
I didn't mean black guy.
I know.
I meant Trump as a guy. He's orange is a new black.
Well, you know, it's so funny because Gregory is. I guess I felt like at this moment, I'm like, I have nothing more to say about dad's surgery.
Yeah.
I might completely.
Just let it be.
Let it be. We'll have more of an update, you know, next week.
Yeah.
Next Sunday. But you were talking about Mercury in retrograde and saying that, like Friday night.
Yeah, well, tell about that.
You know, I was up early, you know, Thursday night, because we had to leave the house at 4:30. No later than 4:40.
So we were up like at 3:30.
Right. And until the night before, I made sure everybody's email for the class went out right and all this stuff. And we got home, nick of time to do the class, which we thought. And the link was wrong on the email.
Mm-hmm.
The link went for a show that starts at 9 p.m. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. All this prep work. All the frustration.
Everything that we did to, like, run around like chickens with our heads
cut
off.
Taking care of Dad. Everything going down. And I just wanted to do my class, and I wanted to have it be well and help people and then call it. And no, at 8 o'clock, I'm running around getting a new link to everybody. And so then we decided to do the class at 8 and then do the class at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And
which was good on our part.
Yeah, which was fine.
So we did it at 8.
Yes. And then at 9, we did it at 9. And there were fireworks going off. And as I'm...
Really close
as
to the
I'm
house.
Stopping, yeah, as I stopped to do the recording for the meditation.
Yeah, because we divide the class into two parts.
Yeah.
15 minutes content, 15 minutes
meditation. The last thing we say was, gosh, those fireworks are so close. Let me, I go, what's going on?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
That's the last thing we say?
And then I hit the button to record the meditation.
Oh, my God.
And I accidentally hit the button to end the conference.
Oh, my God.
And then you go, can you get it back? No, I can't get it back.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, that's a flaw in their software. They should have, are you sure you want to close? And maybe they did, but I was just, you know.
So the last thing we said to people,
yeah,
those fireworks sound like gunshots
right in front of our house.
Right in front of our house.
And so then I quickly sent out an email saying, ah, oh, what a horrible day. Yeah. And it was all in forgiveness work, which I thought was hysterical.
It was great.
Because
it couldn't have been any more like really the, you know, pot calling the kettle black.
It couldn't have gone any less professional.
Yeah.
I could have come across like a total moron. Mm-hmm. But here it just looked like everything went wrong.
Yeah.
You know. And it is what it is. Yeah. And you're just like, whatever. And I just had to keep talking myself off the ledge.
Really?
I just, you know, just like, this is just talking myself down. Mm-hmm. It's all okay. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be okay. You know.
How'd that work for you?
And I'm still here. Yeah. So that's it. And then the next morning we got up and waited for Norm's call and we went and picked him up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, drove an hour and a half there. Yeah. And
these 2 days were like the hottest days of the year. The heat wave index is like 110 or something.
Yeah, and what was nice is that we went to our garden, and our garden was in full bloom. Like, yeah. We had cucumbers. And
they, like, grew in 2 days.
They did. I couldn't believe it. It was so awesome.
Our cucumbers have prickly skins, though. Anybody know about that?
I don't know.
Out there?
I don't know, but you know,
ever heard of prickly cucumbers?
I think that comes off. I mean, it did come off in Washington. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I think they were good. I mean, they were
good.
I think they're ripe. It's hard to tell. I'm like, yeah. Is this a cucumber
that's
ripe?
Doug said that they tasted earthy.
The last tasted earthy.
Which, whatever that means.
I don't know, but it did taste earthy. Mm-hmm. In the sense that it had a little bit of a bitter taste to it. Because when I went there 2 days ago, they were still leafy, you know? Mm-hmm. And then one day, this huge stalk just formed.
Oh, is that what I was eating last night, that stalk?
No. Yeah, that's what you're eating. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. I tried to remove that stalk from the salad lettuce, but, you know.
It grew so big, we climbed it, and at the top was some gold coins.
Exactly, which was awesome. And then, so... That was our weekend so far, and here we are on a Sunday doing our radio show and enjoying it because it's like, oh, thank God, just you and me right now.
Yeah, thank God.
Doing our
waiting
radio
for
show.
The nurse, home health nurse, to come.
Exactly, yeah. Who will come every other day for a week.
I still find it very interesting though, because you know Norm really, really, really wanted this surgery.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody could ever have wanted the surgery more than Norm.
Yeah.
And now he's in so much pain, and he's like, "I go, are you sure do you regret this?" He's, "Oh yeah, I regret it right now. This moment, I regret it."
Yeah. Well, I think it's an interesting take what you said there, because this is who you are at your core level, because you balance out the consequences, and you don't like. I'm hoping that a week from now, Dad's better, mm-hmm. and that this week of sacrifice is worth. Maybe 5 or 10 years of good standing. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. But it is interesting because we're reading Jordan, and he talks about in there, Jordan Peterson, he talks mm-hmm. about, you know, are you willing to make a sacrifice for future happiness?
Right.
For future benefits.
Right.
And it's hard because, you know.
It's difficult to even see that.
Yeah.
In the midst of despair.
Yeah.
Serious, serious despair.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I mean, I kind of consider my general baseline is despair and disappointment.
Right.
And then from there, I build up my comedy routine.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. You make it like this is what my life can be. You know, here it is, and now I'm a little happier.
Yeah. Exactly. How do I make that general baseline of despair and disappointment
exactly
a little bit better, happier, you know,
you move like, up the emotional ladder.
That's
girlfriend,
what I do.
You try to get that ascended balance state of I created a new one called forgiving consciousness.
Yes, you did. I loved it
and I forgive myself, you know. And then I pulled out that one quote from Florence the Machine.
Yeah, say, what is that quote again? That was
well, I don't know who this guy is, but he's saying something in front of this video for Florence and the Machine mm-hmm. on Delilah. Now, these are older videos, like 2015, I think they are, even maybe earlier than that. And it's so funny because they're new to me. And she's at this stage of her career. I don't know how she is now. She is coming to Chicago in October. Everything is like this, so dramatic. Push me, pull me, so dramatic. You know, mm-hmm. it gets a little annoying. It's mm-hmm. like, yes, honey, I get you. You're affected. I understand. And then, but then there's so in the beginning, this one video. There's this, I believe he comes across like Indian sage, you know, mm-hmm. and he has that accent, and he's mm-hmm. talking about, and maybe he doesn't have an accent. I don't know. I don't want to be racist.
Then, oh, yeah, Jill, you're not allowed to have an accent anymore. Jesus.
And then But he talks about how, you know, you need to go after love. Love yourself and forgive yourself.
Yeah.
If you can't love yourself completely and forgive yourself, you can't love and forgive somebody else.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, we just wrote about that. You know,
you said, what was the line? It was so great. It was something about the path. Love is the, I asked you to repeat it.
Well, like, start your journey.
No, love and forgiveness is a path to, or shoot.
Yeah.
Is that his quote or your quote? I can't remember, but I asked you to repeat it on the show, on the course, because it's really profound, and yet I can't remember it now.
Well, I think the one he said was profound, that was me.
Yeah.
But it's like
it's the idea of making forgiveness and love your journey.
Your journey.
No matter what.
No matter what. Go on a journey of finding love and love and
that
forgiveness.
That was it.
Go on a journey of finding love and forgiveness.
To find it.
And
as opposed to going on the journey to find home or, you know, your greater self or all this stuff.
Yeah, and like love and forgiveness.
And forgiveness.
And, you know, I mean, it's fascinating to me. You can do a lifetime on forgiveness.
Yeah, you have to.
And you have to. Because we're all fallible.
Yeah.
We make mistakes.
And you also had
everybody
another good line.
Everybody you talk to makes mistakes.
You had another good line about the onion. Now, most people understand, you know, like, you know, forgiveness or anything is like an onion. It peels in layers and layers. But what you said, and I really thought was brilliant, is that as the onion peels, you reveal an actual more raw or wound.
Right. A deeper wound.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Wow.
And I think that's what we talked about too, is like this idea for forgiveness. You think you've done some forgiveness work and you're like, I've come to a place, I've got a belief system in place to deal with this.
Right.
And then you go, the layer comes off,
right?
And you're like, holy cow, this hurts in a different way.
Yeah.
It's
a different kind of forgiveness.
Yes. And
that life is asking you to do.
Right. Because the
and you're
more
like, I don't
know
if I'm up for that.
Right. Because in some ways, to engage in higher quality stuff, you need a higher level of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because
it's really a more refined.
Yeah.
And truly, as you look at the other person or whatever that situation is that you're, you know, you're doing forgiveness, you have to say, at this level, how do I forgive myself at this?
Right.
And then you're like, whoa, you see at a greater level how deeply flawed we are as human beings.
Yeah.
Not just that honestly, on the one hand, yes, we're cool. We're designed really awesome.
Right.
We can really do so much. And yet, on the other side of the pendulum, we are deeply flawed.
Deeply flawed, yes.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
You know? And then you see that, and it's hard to look at. And you have to be prepared to look at that level of forgiveness in yourself if you're needing to go to that journey of the other person.
Right.
Because we know that we're trying to get a more refined life, a higher quality life.
Right. Well, very interesting. That is really what we're looking at. Do you have a cold? Are you getting a cold?
I've got a cough yet today.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's terrible.
I mean, I did spend 2 days in a hospital.
I know, which is the one thing you hate.
Yeah.
Can I move on to poop jokes?
Sure. I can always use a good poop joke.
Well, you know, it's so funny.
As long as it's not about me.
No, why would it be about you? Insert whatever you want to, because we're not going to say anything about that. I'm going to change the potty humor right now, because this is funny. So I was driving for Normano, you know, and
in the semi.
Now, guys have it easy. They really do on this part, because they can literally, you know, pee wherever they want to, and if they're just a little bit careful, they can pee anywhere without
anybody seeing
it, you know? Yeah. And hence, you know, you forget sometimes that you're just walking on urine at a truck stop. You're like, oh my gosh, this truck stop is just encased with dry urine.
You should have a pair of shoes that you get out of your truck and go to
booties.
And then take those off.
Exactly. You know, so anyway, I'm making a delivery, and I give you guys a call, and I talk to Dad. I go, is there a place I can go to the bathroom here? Because a lot of times we're at these job sites, they don't they're dropping hooks, and there's not really a bathroom for truckers. You know, you don't get paperwork or nothing. You just drop it, pick up another trailer, go back.
There's not even like a port-a-john or something.
No, and it's 2 in the morning. And also, too, at 2 in the morning, a lot of the rest areas and trucks are filled. So there's just not this easy place for a woman to park her truck that feels safe and then go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Her semi.
Yes, her semi. Not like a little tiny car.
Her 100-foot semi.
And then so I called Dad up, and I'm like, hey, so where is there a bathroom? He's like, there is not one. I go, for how long? 3 hours. I'm like, what? I go, where's the porta potty in here? He goes, there is none. I go in the, you know, we have, like, for him, he has, we have, like, a little hospital thing they can, you know.
Yeah, like a hospital urinal.
Yeah, for a guy, not for a girl.
No.
And so I made do. I figured it out, and I made do, and I went to the bathroom. And then afterwards, the next morning, I saw Dad, and I said, I just wanted to let you know, because we switched trucks then, because he did a day load. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know. Went to the bathroom in there. He goes, oh, good for you. He goes, where'd you go? I go, I'm not going to tell you. We'll let you figure it out on your own.
This was like 6 days ago.
Yeah. He goes,
Dun, 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 dun. And so every day, I have to, he tries to guess.
Yes.
He comes back and he goes, I got it, Julie. I know. It was the hard hat.
Yeah.
It was my hard hat.
Like, no.
Nope. It wasn't the hard hat.
Nope. Wasn't the hard hat.
Next day, comes back. I got it. I got it. It was a toolbox.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
I go, yeah, I peed in the toolbox. And so finally, I told him.
Yesterday.
And you said, give me a hint. You were playing the game a lot.
I was playing the game with you.
Yes. And I said, well, it's... Don't think circular.
Yes.
Don't think the natural look for a...
like toilet or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't think circular.
No.
So then I said, could it be rectangle?
I go, yeah, could
and be. And you said, possibly equilateral.
You said, it could be a square, you said. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, I mean, like, I didn't measure it. So I don't know if only two sides are equal to each other or all four sides are equal.
So, and so then that was a clue.
Yes.
And then I asked Dad, I said, now, if... What is your, you know, modus operandi? And he goes, well, I get off my chair, I stand up, I go in the back, you know, because we have a sleeper.
Yeah.
And I stand up, and then I went, oh, okay. So then I said to myself, Julie gets up out of the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Stands up, goes into the back by the back bed.
Yeah.
And I said, she sits on something then.
Yeah.
She turns around and sits on something. And you were like, you weren't like going no, but you weren't saying, you were trying to be a little coy. So I went, guy, no, I got it.
Right.
And so then we realized, okay, we're getting so close.
Yeah.
That here it is. She's standing up, she turns around, she's sitting on something on the bed. But now we could not figure out what she's sitting on.
Right. And
I guessed it.
You said a drawer.
It was a drawer in one of our file cabinets.
And then Norm goes, you did not pee in a drawer? I go, what the hell, I did. First of all, it was like
my drawer. And then she goes, you know the drawer that you carry all your glasses in?
Goes, yeah.
My glasses drawer?
I wiped the glasses out. No, so, okay. So he has like, okay, we have built-in file cabinets in the truck.
Yeah.
I did not use one of those drawers. He also has one of those three-layer plastic drawers.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled out one of those plastic ones. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very deep.
Mm-mm.
And I kind of, you know, I'm not sitting, you can't sit on it. It's not like built, so you just kind of squat a little bit and sit a little bit, and you're like, gives you enough place. But I had to go so bad, and I just kept thinking, please only number one, please only number one.
Yeah, because guys don't have that problem.
No, no.
Guys just go number one.
Yes.
But girls can go number one and accidentally go number two.
Well, or at least feel comfortable enough to go number two. You know, like, you know, or accidentally go number two, you know. Accidentally seems like just like magical. Oh, no, I accidentally did. I'm like, you know.
Well, that's the truth, though.
You're
it's
right.
It's magical.
The truth is, it is magical.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between men and women.
And so, so then you're like, well, what'd you do then? Well, I mean, there were cameras everywhere. So I couldn't just take this and dump it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been really humiliating. Mm-hmm. And
but also, that's also, to me, that would be very sloshy. I mean, you'd have to be very careful.
So I could not drive with it. Mm-hmm. It would have spilled all over.
Horrible, yeah.
So I got to the front seat, and then I was able to kind of, like, you know, shelter myself enough that I got out of the truck and mm-hmm. took this
drawer
full of pee mm-hmm. and poured it into a big jug of laundry soap. That's what Dad keeps his pee pee in. So I poured it in that and would put a lid on it. I'm like, good. All right, cool. So that was good. So that was, I felt, and then luckily he carries also just this gallon full of water, and I was able to then wash out the drawer. Dry it down and put it back. Put his glasses back in, so that he'll never know. And he would never have known. if I told him. But I wanted to tell him that that was funny.
Can you imagine? Like, he's got his sunglasses on. Yes. He's out in the hot sun. He's like, Jesus, this out here.
But I mean, I thought it was nice of me to take the glasses out at least.
Oh yes. Let him float.
Well, you know how some guys, they throw something in the urinal to, like, aim for it? Like, yeah. If you teach a boy to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
See that little toy right there? Aim for it. Awesome. Oh. You know, I could have left the glasses in and said, hey, aim for the glasses.
Aim for the glasses.
I could have done that. So that's one of my stories. The other story was in listening to Adam Carolla, possibly on the same trip. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got two young granddaughters, right? And they're still at the age where they like poop jokes. Mm-hmm. And we love poop jokes, so it's a good match. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't want to get them too much involved in poop
jokes. James Patterson has the number one poop joke book in the nation right now. And James Patterson is like a great author. And if he loves poop jokes, we're right in there. We're in good company.
I laughed at good author only because I don't know how he writes anymore. I think he just literally... You know, he collaborates.
Don't you think that's so awesome?
I think that every writer probably goes, I want to be James Patterson. Yeah. I want to pump out a book
and
a month.
He gets his name on the book.
Oh, yeah.
It was James Patterson with Christine Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like looking for the president. The president is missing.
Yeah.
James Patterson book written by Bill Clinton.
No.
That's the truth.
Oh, is it?
100%. It's out right now.
So Bill Clinton wrote this book with James Patterson.
Yes. Yeah. And that, I saw the interview. That's where Clinton got kind of in trouble for he was like not apologetic enough.
Oh, yes. For the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah.
The Me Too kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. He said he was more a victim than she was.
Oh. Really? Oh, did
you
say that?
Something like that.
Oh, because that's wrong.
he had to walk that back.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, dude, it's hard to say that your intern had more power over you than the President of the United States. Like, if that's the case, then we are all screwed, literally.
Can I want to do poop jokes? No, I wanted to say, like, last night, Dad and I, because we were trying to watch comedy to try and make him feel better, and we couldn't really find anything on Netflix, and I came to this thing, Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Now, I know who he is because I happen to know that because I'm a Kardashian watcher. I know that he's, like, Bruce Jenner's best friend. And I also know that any catalog that I have time to go through and just like go through it, he's got stuff up there. Like any kind of licensing thing, you've got, you know, he's got like four or five characters of the dummies.
Yeah.
And they'll have, you know, you'll have a mug with Grandpa Walter's face on it.
No, really? I've never seen that.
Yeah, he has this licensing. He's a licensing genius.
I did not know. Really?
Absolutely. And so I had never, ever, ever seen him before. And I was like, you know, like, I just don't know. But the guy is pretty amazing, what he does. I'm actually like a fan now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge fan with a capital F and a capital A, but I am a fan.
Right. Oh, good.
Because it's a real skill what he does.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And there's nobody else on earth that can do that.
No. I mean,
and
I don't
thank
know.
God.
Yeah, thank God.
if we had like a shitload of these guys.
It would be hard. You'd be like, another
puppeteer.
Oh, how many does the world need? Yeah. I don't know.
It's cussing puppets.
And
drunk puppets.
And like Taliban-y. I mean,
are they
still promoting that terrorist
thing? The dead terrorist. Yeah, we saw him.
I mean, that's pretty...
He was in Ireland, and it was interesting how the Irish perspective, compared to our
Yeah.
And they're just a lot rawer and funnier. And,
oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
They're not so
politically
like,
correct.
Yeah, they don't get so offended easily. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Very interesting.
Somebody else got offended. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, really? That's my day.
Yeah, I'm offended all the time. But I just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your mouth shut, too.
I move on.
Yeah.
That should be another hashtag.
What?
Move on. Instead of me too. Well, hashtag move on.
Going back, since we're talking
about me. I'm sorry, that's too insensitive.
No. I was reading this story. You've given me a job to do. And this is how close we are.
Mm-hmm.
You said, Julie, I really need you to do this for me. I go, what? And this is like the fourth, fifth month you've told me to do this.
Yeah.
When I get my AARP magazine.
Right.
I need you to, while on the pot, the course of the month, read all the articles for me. And then tell me what would be beneficial for me.
Yeah.
Because I can't literally read it because it's too triggering for me.
It's so true.
It's just so triggering.
I give you my AARP journal to read on the pot.
For me, please read it. Please. I'm like, all right.
I look at all the articles. I go,
that sounds awesome.
Everyone looks good.
Yeah. Last month, I realized how getting cancer can destroy you
financially.
And there's nothing you could do about it except try to save as much. It's so funny because... We want to say save for your future, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a better life. You know what you're really saving for? You're saving for the time you get sick and you can't work.
Yeah.
And so like the years of penny pinching, can then you can get them wiped out in a year because you'll won't be able to work.
As opposed to 6 months.
Yeah. As opposed to 6 months. Exactly. Or you're just like, oh my God. I mean, it just feels horrible.
Yeah.
But so I learned about that, but then I also learned about this Me Too movement from this one woman who was sharing how the memory just came flooding back. She was 19, 20 years old, mm-hmm. had an internship or working in New York as a secretary in like 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a boyfriend at the time, and she said she was bored out of her mind. And her boss... asked her to go to a restaurant, a famous restaurant in New York. And she was like, she jumped on it like, this is awesome. And she kind of assumed, I mean, she had a boyfriend, so she kind of assumed it was like a mentoring thing,
Mm-hmm.
And she went and it ended up horribly, a Me Too moment,
Mm-hmm.
And however, I thought it was very interesting. And she kind of she was telling her story at her yoga class. To two younger women, you mm-hmm. know, and an older woman chimed in saying, what did you expect would happen when mm-hmm. you went to this,
mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, I put it not to be raped. That's mm-hmm. the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, I understood where she was coming from because mm-hmm. at that moment in the 70s, the early 70s, we were in a sexual revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So women were supposed to be sexually empowered
mm-hmm.
and we were supposed to you're programmed to use your feminine wiles to get ahead in the business
mm-hmm,
world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're playing this. And, oh, by the way, don't tell a man no, mm-hmm. and so it's like you're really walking this fine line.
It was crazy.
And it was crazy. Mm-hmm. So she got it. She understood why she said it because mm-hmm. back in that day, too, women were really attacking each other as well because you couldn't figure out your role.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Not only were you supposed to be sexually empowered, you're supposed to be like, business wise empowered.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to work
and not just be
a secretary.
Yeah,
but you're supposed to, be up on the higher food chain.
Just like that, right? And so, we had to expect men to behave differently and women to behave differently mm-hmm. and not get anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, what happened to her was really just horrible because it wasn't like a date rape. He literally was an aggressive thing. But I mean. And not that that's different, but what I'm saying is they're like literally for this situation, it wasn't like a date gone bad. Mm-hmm. It was more, I feel like his chauffeur took them to a place, you know. She wanted to go home.
Ooh.
The chauffeur, he goes, oh, no.
It was already pre-programmed.
It was pre-programmed. Yeah. They took, you know, it was just a horrible situation.
Yeah.
And then she had to keep her mouth shut because finally he said to her, you know, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll find out. You will find out what will happen if you tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So no man says that if mm-hmm. he thinks it was just, you know, a bad date.
Right.
You know, oh, it was just a bad date.
Right.
No, this was literally a rape, you know, and so forth.
Yeah.
Not distinguishing between the two, you know, or whatever. But it was interesting, though, because, like I said, the two younger women were like, oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. This is horrible. Mm-hmm. But the older woman that was her age said, what were you expecting was going to happen?
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting take.
It's a good take.
Because
that's good.
At that moment, mm-hmm. when you got, you know, in that generation, mm-hmm.
Shows perfectly the difference in what was happening too. Like one person could be like very cynical or like, you know, no, not just cynical, but know the score.
Right.
And then another person could be very innocent.
Yeah.
Because you just, you know, you just got off the farm. And
well,
you're
she
like
said this guy was
old.
Much older and like, I really thought he could be my mentor.
Right.
You know, or just wanted to hang out.
Right.
You know, or whatever. I had a boyfriend, you know.
Right.
And you're like, you know, and so it was just fascinating. And so I read about that for you, Mother. Did that help
you
at all?
Thank you, Julie. It does help me now.
Well,
what's the next thing you're going to read for me on the pot?
I'm like, how to be happy over 70. You know, also, there are many volunteer organizations who are just dying, literally dying to have senior citizens,
really?
You know, man phones and help people. And
really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
It's kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, to start volunteering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, if anybody was with you at this moment, you had the major eye roll. You know,
it's not that I'm against volunteering. It's what I'm against is getting there and coming home.
Right.
If I can do it from my house,
I don't see why you couldn't. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah. Now, I mean, I would like to. I'd like to do it almost like everybody that wants to volunteer. Like, I'd like to volunteer and take care of puppies.
Right.
Or like that's about it, really.
Well, that's it.
That's about it. I take care of a puppy.
And mostly what you'd like is the idea of taking care of a puppy and then having me do it.
Yeah, then you.
So, the puppy needs to go out, Julie. Okay. Yes. You've been having this fantasy of taking care of horses. Like, you want to volunteer at Pegasus, which is our local place.
That's our local. We can volunteer there. You were baiting me, though.
Yes.
I've been dreaming about horses for so long. And then I learned, you know, a little bit ago that before you even get on the horse, it's so important to bond with it. And so you bond with it by brushing it because that in the wilds, that's what they do. They sort of nuzzle each other's manes and stuff like that. So I've been begging you to find me a place that I can go and brush a horse.
Yes.
That will eventually.
That's what they call you nowadays.
Yes. That's what she said, right? Yeah. And I want to brush the mane, and so over time develop a relationship. So eventually, I could. And you told me, here's what I was thinking. You know, I was thinking like, because you go, well, Mom, how are you going to get on the horse? How are you going to get on the horse? Yeah, like that. And I said, well, over time, I'm going to train my horse to get down on all knees like a camel. And you went, oh, no, he won't do that. I'm like, I think he would. Then you said, no, you'll have to find a picnic table. You have to stand on the picnic table.
Right, which they do now anyway. People do that all the time.
Yeah, you get on the chair part, the seat part, and then you get up on the table part. And then the horse comes to you. It just seems like there should be a better way. Like, train your horse like a camel to go down on you.
Oh, is that what they, that what she said?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that's my idea.
I know, yeah. Mom. I'm sure they've had those ideas.
Okay.
But they, you know.
It didn't work out somehow?
I don't know. I just think that you, the horse's knees don't bend that way.
Ooh.
You know.
Ooh, okay.
But I also said, if you start hanging around horses, become a volunteer.
Right.
And you're like, we can do that. That's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do that, Julie.
I know.
And I said, oh, I see the writing on the wall. We go. You get to, you know, brush the horse's mane, and then I will be picking up poop, because that is how it would work out. And they're like, oh, it's two for the price of one. Two volunteers for the price of one. I go, yeah, you're not paying for either one of us. So,
and then I had this idea that when we were riding the horse, that there'd be, both of us would be on the horse. You could be behind me. So that
so cruel.
But then we'd have matching t-shirts in the front.
Yeah.
But my t-shirt in the back would say, if you can read this, then the bitch fell off.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, good. All right, fine.
That's my sense of humor. Don't tell anybody, though.
Don't tell anybody. That's your sense of humor. Yeah. Okay, got it. I won't. So I listened to Adam Carolla, and, you know, and so, you know, we try and balance our poop humor with the girls, because also they're a little young to not go, you know, okay, no poop jokes at school, you know,
right.
That's not good.
Oh yeah, right, there's no poop jokes at school.
Exactly, come
but
on.
But we try to say, in this house,
poop jokes are allowed.
Yeah.
So, but here's, I want to say how
important. Oh, they do go too far sometimes.
Yes, which is how humor always is, all right? Okay. You always say that's your job to find the line, then cross over it, and then come back over again, you know. That's what you always say.
Well, when it's me that's crossing over, But when it's them, it's like, no.
You cross the line. Cross the line. But so anyway, I listened to Adam Carolla, and literally they had a new game. And what it was, they had to listen to audio. And the audio was of farts or not farts.
Oh.
And you had to guess if it was a fart or a not fart. If it wasn't a fart, what do you think it was?
Oh, my God.
And literally halfway through, they're on the floor laughing so loud. Because fart jokes are just funny. You know, so like one was, it was this really long, sour sounding noise. And someone goes,
how does a noise sound sour?
and they go, oh, that is definitely not a fart. It was too long. Uh-huh. And then they show the video, and it was a guy in a hospital who had just, you know, was sick, and it was, he had farted. He was farting. And he was oh my God, this is so sour sounding.
Oh no. So is there YouTube videos of people farting?
I guess is. There must be. Oh, my God. Is this not wild or what?
That's how you do it. So you or Adam invented a game from YouTube videos.
Yes.
I love it.
And so you can, I guess you can get, like, fart sounding noises from YouTube. Like, is this a fart or not? And it's not.
Oh, it's like if you're doing a movie.
I don't know, but just this idea, like, oh, okay, so here's a noise. Think it's a fart or not. And if it's not a fart, what do you think it is? And then you find out it's a fart. That's so funny.
What were some of the things that weren't farts?
One was like a seal talking or something like that. Or like a whale.
There's a seal talking.
Seal talking. You know, I love it, though, when seats, like when you sit in a seat and that makes a farting noise.
Yeah.
I just think that's hysterical, because you're like, of course, you're like, oh, I didn't fart there. That was really my seat making that noise. I know that sound came from my butt, but the vicinity of my butt, not. But we all fart. Why are we so embarrassed by it? Just out of curiosity. Why?
How do you
are cows embarrassed to fart?
I don't think cows fart.
I don't think cows get embarrassed. Maybe they do.
That's
get embarrassed.
That's true, too.
Think cows get embarrassed?
I'll tell you what. The only people or creatures that fart are ones that can get embarrassed, maybe.
Oh, interesting. Got it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Hello, people.
He's knowing we're almost done. And he's like, I'm going to talk to them. but anyway, speaking on the phone, he is a farter.
Doug
is. Now... in the beginning of our relationship, I thought it was just like, oh, he feels comfortable now just to fart or whatever. But it was so funny because he'll always say, oh, excuse me, so sorry, you know. And like, by now, I'm like, you're not sorry. And by now, I'm like, as long as you don't crap your pants, I am okay. I have like this line in the sand.
That
like,
was your line.
My line is, well, then I'm like, well, what if he does crap his pants? What am I going to do about it?
Do you care?
Well, and not what do I care? Like, you know, sometimes that stuff happens. You know, it's like, long as I take care of it, I'm okay. You know, when our relationship crosses that line where like, I now have to take care of it. Like, oh, okay, we're there now. That's what we're doing, right? Okay.
Well, see, Norm's on Narco. And so we're, and he said, oh, when you go to Walmart to get my Narco pills, pick up some laxatives. And I went, are you sure you want to? Because we all know that Narco makes you, you know, like constipated a little bit.
Right.
I said, you might really enjoy that. And he, you know, I go, pooping little rabbit pellets?
Yeah.
That'd be so sweet, you know, and everything. Yeah. And he went like this. He goes, it won't be rabbit pellets. It'll be golf balls. Like, and I'm like, okay, okay. So he did not want to.
Mom, I just love how you set things up. For like, oh, would you rather just be on, you know, be constipated? Meaning, I really don't want to deal with you crapping right now. You can barely move. I just don't want to deal with you crapping.
Like, could you take the lot of Narco and sit outside?
Yeah. Can you take Narco, sit outside, on a toilet? It would be awesome. And, you know, and then I'll just drive you to the nursing home. Because really, for the next 2 weeks, I'm just about done with you.
That's right. I had not planned on this part.
The neediness.
And then, but I did have a moment of clarity this morning.
Did you? Was there a moment
of clarity? Remember I said, isn't it amazing how we, all three of us work so well together?
Yes.
Because when we're not, it really shows.
Well, I think we're doing a great job, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, gratefully, this is not going down when I've had Lyme disease.
It would have been, no.
You know.
It would have been too much.
We would have been like,
a year ago this weekend.
Yeah.
1 year ago today.
Yeah.
You were in the hospital. We did not know what was going on. You had a spinal tap. You were so sick.
Yeah.
And finally, I remember sitting in that little ER room. And everybody, three people walk in wearing masks.
Yeah.
And all that. And I look up and they go, you have meningitis and Lyme disease.
And we all went, sick. Thank God.
We all went,
thumbs
yay!
Up. Thumbs up.
And they looked at us like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But we were so happy to have been able to have a word for what was happening to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that just it was Lyme disease. I mean, to me, we felt that at least it was something that we could battle.
Yeah, I agree. That's how I felt. Like something we can get. Well, also, you know, I was just grateful that I was on the mend. That was the most important
at that
thing.
Moment that you began the climb.
Yep, the spinal tap helped a lot.
Yeah,
the spinal tap helped a lot. Well, we only got about 2 minutes of the show left.
Really?
Unless I'm off.
That's crazy.
Maybe I'm off.
You could be off. We didn't check.
Didn't really start.
We didn't check.
I'm gonna give us 3 more minutes to the show.
Okay.
I think that's in the range.
Hey, here's how we should end it.
Don't tell me.
Those fireworks sound like bullets.
What?
What? What do you think? Maybe we should go and check.
That's okay. Yeah.
Was it great?
Was the show great?
It was great.
No, we're not done yet, people. We're not done yet.
You ain't seen the last of us.
No. So what's going on for you this week, girlfriend? Absolutely nothing.
No, I mean, I'm going to have to make sure that you finish your coursework.
Yeah.
You know, and you
will
be pitching
at me. Well, we're
really
at the countdown because I'm going to. It's so funny. I have this, you know, last week we read from our 2018 list.
Yeah.
And July 13th is we're going to do the movie.
Right.
We decided we're going to do the 48-hour movie.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've committed that I have to have everything turned in.
Yeah.
For my master's program by that date.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to just.
It's you won't do
feel,
it.
I won't. Well, it will feel
you'll
such
need
a
that
burden.
Weekend. Right.
So I'm going to be very myopic. Not. I've got a lot of stuff going on. lost up, but we'll figure it out, right, girlfriend?
We're going to figure it out. We're going to handle it. We're going to do it. It won't be perfect. We're going to keep on forgiving ourselves.
Yes.
And forgiving each other.
And also, I was reading our book that we wrote, mm-hmm. The Clutterfly Effect.
It was a good book.
It was. But there's such world.
I think it was ahead of its time.
There are such pearls of wisdom in it.
I know.
Of like, hey, you know, let's tweak your way there.
Yeah.
But so many times, especially with social media, you don't want to tweak your way in front of other people. Mm-hmm. And I've had to.
You've had to be able to be yourself in front of everybody.
Yeah. Flawed. Amazingly flawed. And, you know, get through it. And, oh, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And by virtue of that, me too, Joe.
Yeah, you too. Hashtag me too.
Hashtag move on.
Exactly. I'm moving on. So, girlfriend, how's the show?
Was it great, Julie?
It was great.
Okay, it was great.
I don't know.
I don't either. It was great.